Back to order, we have before us Senate Bill 72, which is the Community Revenue Sharing Version 25/A. The committee has heard this bill on February 13th, so it's my intention, as long as we don't see anything else unforeseen comes up, we're going to move this bill out of the committee today. At this time, I'd like to offer amendment number one to the bill. This amendment was recommended by AML to clearly define the revenue source. Do we have any objections to the amendment? Senator Wagner?
I didn't know you offered amendments, I thought.
Oh, okay.
Chair. I'd move amendment number one, Mr. Chairman, /A, Cook.
Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second.
Still need seconds.
To the amendment, okay.
Sorry.
The amendment, without objection, the amendment is adopted. While we have AML here, will you go ahead and speak? Will you have somebody come on up here and speak to the amendment? We also have Melanie Lesh from Legislation from the Department of Natural Resources, who is also here to answer questions and certainly can come up and present as well. Ms. Wasserman.
Thank you, Senator Olson. First of all, my name is Kathy Wasserman with the Alaska Municipal League, and thank you for the opportunity, this wonderful opportunity, to again discuss our revenue sharing bill, Senate Bill 72. This amendment intends to simply clarify what resources we intended to have the 6% be derived from. As you can see, if you were to tally up the first list that was in the original bill last week, you would see that it would fund municipalities in a much, much bigger way than the small little amount that we are now requesting. So we're actually saving the state some money. This amendment restricts the natural resources to those defined in Alaska's Constitution for the permanent fund. It does not dip into the permanent fund at all. It simply defines those resources that are used for the permanent fund definition. The disbursement under this new amendment is consistent with the owner state concept, as all of the Alaska's resources belong to the people of the state. So that was just an oversight when the first bill was done. Our intent was simply this simpler amendment.
Any questions of Ms. Wasserman? Senator Wagner.
Yeah, I didn't say much last meeting. I'm very much in favor of municipal assistance and revenue sharing program if we can establish one that's consistent. I've been a mayor and a city councilman in a community, and I realize the benefits of that. Having said that, I don't know what footing we're on legally by designating a percentage of mineral lease, rentals, royalties, royalty sale procedure. It's my understanding we can't dedicate funds in the state of Alaska. And this is the same problem I had when the POMV was being discussed, because, and I'm not throwing stones at AML as much as I am everybody, because the minute we started talking about POMV, there was a percentage for the permanent fund dividend check. There was a percentage for education. There was a percent. Everybody wanted a percent of it. And I'm just wondering if this may not go the same way. If we set up a percentage of the out of resources and royalties for AML, or not at their request, I wonder what we're starting here. Because I go back and look at the governor's budget. She put $463 million in there for PERS, TERS, to hold the communities and the schools and everybody harmless this year. It's my understanding. And I don't know how much more we can afford. I'm not going to vote against this. I think it really needs to go up through the system. We need to take a hard look at it and someplace come up with some funds that are consistent, so we don't have a spike and a valley in municipal assistance and revenue sharing. But I just don't know this is the bill to do it. I think there's other funds in the budget. Was it $48 million we did last year?
Yes, with the one-time revenue sharing through the chair, Senator Wagner, and through some PERS TERS money, there was some money to municipalities on a one-time shot again last year.
That was just one time then?
Yes.
So that didn't get reincorporated in
no,
the carry-forward budget that the governor presented this year?
No.
So that's out of the budget. Okay. All right. That's the question I had, and I don't know if anybody's looked at the legality of doing this or not. Do you know?
Senator Wagner, through the chair, we do not intend a dedicated fund. We understand that this money should and must be set aside and then dispersed by the act of the legislature. And so we are not asking for a dedicated fund because we well know that that is not allowed by the state of Alaska. So this would not be a dedicated fund.
I guess the other question, I think there should be a dedicated fund someplace, some way to assure us that the future legislators aren't going to come back and say, there's a place to cut the budget. That's my problem with this process. Has anybody thought about doing the same thing or asking the governor to take a good hard look instead of putting money into the constitutional budget reserve? What, she's talking $1.8 billion?
A healthy amount. I'm not sure what the numbers are.
Look at setting up something similar to what we've done for power cost equalization and actually legally establishing a fund that the principal would stay in place and then the interest would provide municipal system revenue sharing. If we could do a one-time deal like that, I'd be much more in favor of that.
Any thoughts on that, Ms. Wasserman?
Through the chair, Senator Wagner, is that a motion?
No.
No, but I think it's discussion we need to have. Because I think it's a solution, and it takes it out of the control of the legislature. This doesn't take it out of control of the legislature. Whatever this legislature does, the next legislature or governor can take away from us. And that's my problem, because I know how it goes up and down, and so do you.
Yes, sir. And through the chair, Senator Wagner, last year, I think the reason we came up with this plan was because last year we continued to hear most people say, well, we are for revenue sharing, but it's up to you people to help us decide where this revenue sharing is going to come from and how it's going to be funded. And we came up with so many scenarios, but you always find 10 people on each scenario say, oh, no, that one won't work. So we've tried to identify something and say, this is our story, we're sticking to it. Certainly, if someone comes up with something that everyone can agree on, you won't find us poo-pooing it, but that's a legal term.
For the follow-up.
I sat on that committee. I remember a special committee.
That's right.
And all the work we went through. And I hadn't thought about this till lately. This bill came forward, and that's when I started thinking, wondering what we're going to do and what the end result will be. And that's when I started thinking a few days ago about, well, maybe we should really look at the way the power cost equalization, what do they call that? Is that a foundation?
It's an endowment.
An endowment. So was that a vote? How did that come about? You, anybody in the room know? Anybody?
Natural Resources Representative, do you want to come up to the plate and explain the situation to him?
Solve this problem, Melanie.
For the record, my name is Melanie Lesh. I'm the legislative liaison for the Department of Natural Resources. The original, actually, DCCED could probably speak to the history better than myself, but the original endowment, $100 million, came in the form of an amendment in the Finance Committee on the budget bill. And I believe Senator Representative Osterman at the time offered that amendment. That was about 6 years ago. The most recent endowment was also, I think, in the form of an amendment from Senator Hoffman and Senate Finance Committee.
That was an amendment to the finance bill, the capital last year.
Actually, with all due respect, I think that maybe people with more institutional knowledge than I have, there was the plan to go ahead and have the Ford Dam pool be sold, and those proceeds were supposed to go to the original power cost equalization endowment. But I guess that's, you know, we'd have to get into somebody that knows a lot more about history.
Mr. Chairman, I guess you're right.
Senator Wagner, go ahead.
And it sounds to me like if it's just an endowment set out legislatively, that could be taken away too. Because that's what happened to the science endowment funds.
Actually, that was a foundation.
Foundation was, yeah, but it, foundation or endowment, either one has the same weight, because if it isn't set up constitutionally, we can't be protected.
Ms. Wasserman, any other thoughts? Otherwise, we'll go. We've got a number of people off-site and down in Wrangell and Ketchikan that want to testify on this bill. So, unless there's further questions from the committee, or if there's anybody else wants to go ahead and testify or speak to the amendment, we'll go ahead and.
I'll think along a little longer.
Okay. We'll go off-site first. First, we've got Lisa Van Bargen from the City of Valdez. Are you online, Ms. Van Bargen?
Hi, thank you so much for allowing me to speak. I don't have any additional testimony at this time, as I've not received a copy of the amended bill. I just wanted to make sure that the committee had received the resolution of support that the City of Valdez forwarded on to you earlier today.
Ms. Van Bargen, actually we have a copy in each of our files.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Our next one is David Tallarico, the Denali Borough Mayor. Mr. Tallarico, are you on, please?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and I certainly appreciate the opportunity to speak to you and the rest of the committee. Very briefly, I really want to see this move forward. It's much needed throughout all of the state of Alaska. I think we would all agree that healthy and stable communities are very good for the state, and it really appears to me that over the years, I'm sure you've all realized in your own communities that we're delivering more services now than we ever have in the past from the municipal level. And all of our communities, no matter how big or how small, are actually trying to get those services out to the people to make it a better place for all of us to live. And I think it's really important for our future and our future generations coming up. So with that, Mr. Chairman, thank you very much for the opportunity.
Mr. Tallarico, while we have you online, and you're the mayor of the Denali Borough, one of the boroughs, there is a disparity between the unincorporated communities and the incorporated communities within a borough. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I think that what we do basically from the borough level is our services are delivered borough-wide, and we certainly have to define those as good as we can. But we do, from the borough's perspective, we do deliver our services borough-wide through emergency medical services and our fire departments and our educational system. So speaking for the municipality, it's a very equal split for us. There is an advantage to us as well as we operate our municipality to have a second-class city within our municipality that deals with a lot of issues too. That is a very good question and probably a tough one to work out. I like the way it's set up right now, and potentially in the future we could figure that out to make sure that we've done an even distribution for everyone.
Thank you, Mr. Tallarico. Any questions for him? Thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon. Our next person is Michael Katze with AML. Mr. Katze, please.
Yes, this is Mike Katze, Mr. Chair, committee members. I'm an economic developer, a city council member for the City of Skagway, and co-chair of the Alaska Municipal League Legislative Committee. I'd just like to read a statement in support of SB 72.
Go ahead, sir.
In the fear of beating a dead horse to death, I would like to avoid commenting on the past history of revenue sharing. I believe it is more prudent that we look to the future and consider what opportunities may arise by reinstating revenue sharing. Firstly, I will say that the League wholeheartedly supports the comments in the sponsor statement for the bill, which succinctly describe the League's long-standing position. Secondly, I would like to see us reframe the way in which we discuss revenue sharing. I believe that, like any business, the state needs to reinvest some of its revenues into its fundamental core. This core is made up of the people and businesses that call Alaska home, and they are organized into organic political units, those of local government. Hence the concept of municipal revenue sharing, the concept of municipal investment, we fundamentally change the relationship between the state and the municipalities. Move away from the municipalities begging for a dividend, a new relationship where the state uses 6% of its natural resource revenues to invest back into its core foundation, people and its communities. At the same time, there is an expectation that the munis will take on the responsibility of wisely using these funds to improve our provision of basic services and to relieve the tax burden of the state's taxpayers. Companies that fail to invest in themselves are subject to failure. I strongly believe that the current closure of several communities, others that are on the verge of closing, is the result of the state not reinvesting in itself. This bill is a long-term sustainable mechanism that can change all of that. Thirdly, as an economic developer, I see that the increasing tax burden is a serious concern for the state's small businesses. Doing business in Alaska is difficult at the best of times for many reasons, and many of which are beyond our control. It is even more difficult in the rural areas of the state. In recent years, we have seen significant increases in fuel, heating oil, construction costs, materials, and other essential goods and services. These, coupled with the increasing property tax burden, continue to add to the cost of doing business, and we find our businesses working closer to that fine line between making it and not. This bill will not only bring long-term relief to property taxpayers across the state, but it will be a prudent investment in essential local services and small business on which many communities depend on for their economic well-being. This bill represents a sustainable investment in the people and infrastructure that make this state a great place to live and do business. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Katz. Do we have any questions from him, from the committee? Okay, we'll go on to our next person down in Ketchikan. We have Scott Brandt Erickson from the Ketchikan Gateway Borough. Mr. Erickson, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Scott Brandt Erickson, I'm the borough attorney in Ketchikan. I'm also, along with Mike Cassidy, the co-chair of the AML Legislative Committee. The remarks that I had, I actually provided written remarks to the LIO office here, which I think they'll send up to the committee, and I'll shorten those up a bit for your purposes today. The three areas that I think are significant here are the impact on Ketchikan specifically as an illustration of the impact on many communities, the revenue sources and whether this is a good source for the revenues, and the system for distribution of revenues. Specifically with respect to the impacts on Ketchikan, as an example, the revenue sharing that the borough received last year, it was equivalent to 12% of the general fund expenditures for the borough. So it was greater than 10% of our budget was covered by the revenue sharing that was provided last year. Over the past 20 years, there are four main types of transfer payments we receive. Revenue sharing, whether it's safe communities or revenue sharing, was one of them. National forest receipts, fish tax receipts, and federal payment in lieu of taxes. These combined generally equate to somewhere around 1 mil to 1.2 mils of property tax savings to our local property taxpayers. The revenue sharing, every dollar we get of revenue sharing from the state allows us to save the local taxpayers a dollar off of their tax bills, right? And the mill rate reduction that's allowed by this has varied between about 0.6 and 1.2 mils. The second aspect of the legislation, the fund source, as Kathy Wasserman mentioned, there's been quite a bit of debate about the source for funds for revenue sharing. Last session, the governor's office, the legislature, AML, everyone seemed to agree that a reliable, sustainable funding source was the objective. But there are many different views as to what that might be. The 6% solution, which was developed, has a lot of gut level appeal once you understand how it works. In a way, when the state's revenues run short, there's an automatic pro rata reduction If every department budget was set up that way, the legislature's job would be very easy. When the revenues were down 10%, there would be an automatic 10% budget cut to each department. But with respect to revenue sharing, this funding mechanism provides an automatic proportional cut to revenue sharing based upon what the state has taken in. The third aspect I wanted to comment on, the distribution of revenues. There are a couple of issues with the distribution method that are significant. One is payments to unincorporated communities, unincorporated settlements in the unorganized borough. It's necessary and appropriate to provide some level of funding for services to these areas. And the minimum is at a level that allows some of those services to be provided, but retains an incentive for those areas to develop and organize into cities or into a borough. There is a difficult balance. Some of the organized boroughs, there are contain unorganized communities that could benefit from some of these same funds. But there's a definitional difficulty where there are some organized boroughs that have regions or neighborhoods that may have all of those same attributes. And if a structure for providing funds to some, but not all of those, may be difficult. The method that the bill uses to address this, providing a larger amount to boroughs than to cities, allows those boroughs to then have their own system for sharing those funds with the unorganized communities within a borough. And this, while this may not be the only solution, I believe that it is a good solution to the problem. The other population question that the bill, I believe, resolves very well is the question of double counting. If you have a city inside a borough, when you have the per capita portion of the distribution, the provisions in the bill, as it's drafted, address that very well so that there's not a double count of individuals who are both in a city and in a borough. Mr. Chairman, the bill looks like a good solution to a long-standing problem, I would urge the committee to approve the bill and pass it on. Thank you.
Mr. Erickson, thank you for your testimony. Any questions of Mr. Erickson? Hearing no questions, we'll go on to our next person down in Wrangell, and that's going to be Valerie McCandless, who's the city manager for the city of Wrangell. Ms. McCandless.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, thank you for allowing me to testify today. And I just wanted to call in support of this bill and to express that there have been multiple meetings at AML that have taken place both in the summer, fall, and winter dealing with this particular issue. And this has had statewide scrutiny and also support. And so I hope that you also will support this moving forward.
Thank you, Ms. McCandless. Any questions of her? Hearing no questions, we'll go on to Tim Beck up in Fairbanks. Mr. Beck, with AML, are you on this afternoon?
Thank you, Senator Olson and members of the committee. I really appreciate the attention you're giving this. I am the first vice president of the Alaska Municipal League and also a member of the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly. I just want to point out 3 points, and I think they've been talked about much, but number one, this is a clearly defined revenue source. Number two, it's a sustainable program to share the state's resource income with that government which is closest to the residents of Alaska, that being the local government. And recognition that monies invested in local government is frequently compounded many times over with community participation. Again, I thank you for your attention to this, and I'll be watching as this moves forward, and thank you for your efforts on our behalf.
Mr. Beck, thank you for your testimony this afternoon. Any questions of Mr. Beck by the committee? Hearing no questions, we have one other person that's in the audience that signed up to testify, Vernon Marshall from Juneau. Please come up to the microphone, state your name and affiliation for the record, and give us your testimony, please.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Vernon Marshall. I represent the Public Safety Employees Association. I really don't have any testimony other than we do support your efforts. PSEA has taken a position in support of restoration of revenue sharing. I realize we're talking about an end result, the means by which you get there. We have not analyzed, but we support your efforts primarily from the view of we want safe communities, we want good infrastructure, and, you know, like Tip O'Neill said, all politics is local, and we all go back home, and we live in communities, and we want them safe, and we want safe water and safe sewer. So thanks.
Thank you for your testimony. Any questions of Mr. Marshall? Hearing no questions. Do we have any further comment from anybody else that wants to testify this afternoon? Any further comment from the committee? Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Chairman Olson. The only question I had was the spreadsheets, and I realize we're working with spreadsheet three, but I was curious how the formula works to determine the per capita distribution. If somebody from municipal league would answer that, I'm assuming. Is that formula based in statute someplace else that I'm not aware of, or?
Senator Thomas, through the chair. No, what we simply did was took the amount of the 6% of revenues that would be estimated for that year.
Okay.
First of all, dispersed it to the core base amounts, the 25, 75, and 100 or 250, and then took what was left, divided it by the population. So that amount, the per capita amount, would go up and down each year depending on the amount of resource money available. Some years it may not even be there. It may just be that the state could afford the base amounts and perhaps there would be no per capita.
Okay. Thank you.
Is that clear, sir?
That makes sense. Yeah, I just couldn't figure out the changes from one to the other, but there may have been that from spreadsheet one to spreadsheet three had different numbers to begin with, I guess. Is that what?
And some of them were, through the chair, Senator Thomas, some of those were done when we were trying to look at different scenarios to include, I think as one of the, as Scott Brand Erickson testified, we looked at some point in doing a per capita count, counting the people in cities and in boroughs and then not counting them. And so we just did different scenarios because there were questions by different legislators as to how it would best suit their district.
And just one
Senator other, Thomas.
The gross difference, and it may just be a typographical error between spreadsheet one and spreadsheet three of the Lucian East Borough. Somebody must have pointed that out to you. There's a 2,600 person difference in going from 2,659, unless I'm reading something incorrectly, to a population of 72. So that must be
through the chair, Senator Thomas. That's probably a typo.
Okay. All right.
I think all that money was intended to go to Fairbanks, sir.
Well, God. There are. There
Boy,
are,
this is really
there,
good.
There
what office is she running for?
I could go to the Denali Borough or someplace. That would be just as well. So, thank you, though.
Senator Wagner.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. I hope we can get a revenue program going, but I want to throw one thing out here, and I'm going to be asking a person that serves on finance to make an amendment to this bill when it gets up there and discusses. And one of my major problems has always been we talk about separate sums of money going to boroughs and cities, and there are major cities in this state to this day have never funded education to the cap, and I have a real hard time giving those cities revenue sharing without something being in this bill that requires, if they get this revenue sharing, some of it goes to complete that gap that's there and fund education to the cap, because I think it's very unfair for them to come to us crying for money every year and not funding education to the cap. I happen to come from a district that's they've been a little short a couple of times. but for the most part, that borough tries to fund education to the cap. And I think we should put something in here that makes sure that that happens.
As a former borough mayor, I assure you that your point is well taken.
Okay, thank you.
One of the questions that I have, Ms. Wasserman, is that there's been a fair amount of discussion amongst the legislators that are that represent both incorporated and unincorporated boroughs, but also those communities within the boroughs, especially that are unincorporated, that there's such a disparity between the amount of money that they're getting to run their municipality as compared to the incorporated ones. Any thoughts on that?
Well, Senator Olson, sir, we certainly know that that is a point of discussion, and it comes up quite often when revenue sharing is discussed. On our bill specifically targets municipalities in boroughs, municipalities in boroughs and municipalities outside of boroughs. How they're treated in the bill, we've basically left that for discussion among the legislators because there may be differing views, and we knew that if we simply went dead on with one scenario over another, we probably were not going to come out of it with any agreement from anyone. So we figured that is something you people can certainly discuss.
Okay. Any other questions?
And I may regret that answer, so you might give me another chance to undo it.
Senator Thomas.
Just want to thank you, Senator Chairman. Chairman Olson, I don't have a calculator with me, but since you mentioned Fairbanks anyhow, you caused me to look at the two spreadsheets in that case, and I see the populations, I see the populations of Fairbanks, and in this case, we'll just use Anchorage as an example anyhow. The populations remained the same as did some of the other basic numbers, obviously, you know, because they are both incorporated, so that number stayed the same, but the difference between the two spreadsheets is a dramatic number, and I'm having trouble understanding how, even with the changes in the money, that it would have had that dramatic of a difference, because you have, I don't know if you have both before you there or not, but the one I'm looking at shows in spreadsheet one, Fairbanks and the Fairbanks North Star Borough combined are about 17,742. And in spreadsheet three, it's 17,375. Fairly minor difference. Anchorage, however, in that same case, not picking on Anchorage, they just stuck out the number, goes from 41 million to 55 million. That's a pretty large percentage increase to be affected by simply a calculation of the amount of money that was available. I could see it spreading, certainly, and being different when you're talking about the population divided mm-hmm. into a number, but that's such a huge difference, I was having trouble factoring that into my own mind. So you'd know how that could have occurred.
Senator Olson, would it be possible for me to call Bill Rolfson up here, since he's the spreadsheet king?
Oh, there you
absolutely. Mr. Rolfson, please. State your name and affiliation for the record, and go ahead with your testimony.
Through the chair, my name is Bill Rolfson. I'm an employee of the Department of Commerce. This gets back to the Aleutians East Borough question, the 72. That was not a typo. The difference between the two spreadsheets is strictly looking at the borough populations. One used the entire population of the borough, including those populations within the cities.
Okay.
And the other spreadsheet, which reflects what's currently in SB 72, is the non-area-wide population. So you subtract out all the city populations from within the borough. Okay. So, for instance, Aleutians East Borough, if you subtract out Accutan, Sandpoint, King Cove, etc., you're left with 72 residents that actually live outside any city within the borough, which is the population that is used in Senate Bill 72.
Okay. Senator Thomas, that answers your question.
That answers the question, and I think that's referenced maybe on the difference between these two spreadsheets with the situation I pose between Fairbanks and Anchorage anyhow. Is that a similar similar calculation there in spreadsheet two. We have our spreadsheet three, I guess. I don't want to get too involved, then we get too many spreadsheets here. Is that a similar calculation by taking the city of Fairbanks out of the Fairbanks and Fairbanks North Star Borough calculation?
Through the chair, Senator Thomas, that's exactly correct. With Anchorage, they're a unified municipality, so there are no cities within their boundaries. With the Fairbanks North Star Borough, you have the city of Fairbanks and the city of North Pole. So those two populations of those two cities would be deducted from the Fairbanks North Star Borough population to come up with a number to use in the formula.
I could see that, yet they're both listed on both spreadsheets. That's, I guess, my I could understand it if we had a calculation that just had the one, but I'm adding the two together and getting that number. So I don't know that does explain the situation to me there anyhow. I'm saying that both spreadsheet one and spreadsheet three have Fairbanks and the Fairbanks North Star Borough, and they have the populations. Now, I'm adding the two together. If one disappeared, I guess I could understand that difference, but they're not disappearing in spreadsheet three. It still shows both Fairbanks and the Fairbanks North Star Borough. It's a total number I'm talking about, a cumulative number. I can understand what you're saying, why the one is less, but that's not the comparison that I'm seeing here. Maybe I'd have to show it to you after, and then we can discuss it, rather than taking up the time.
Any further questions from the committee?
You know where I like him more and more.
This time I'll entertain a motion to go ahead and move the bill from committee.
So moved.
Well, we'll move the bill as amended and with attached fiscal note. Any objection to the motion? Hearing no objections, Senate Bill 72, Community and Revenue Sharing, is moved from committee. Any further business to come before the committee? Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned. I want to thank everybody for...